Okay, everybody, workday's over.
This is the best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
Not quite sure the vibes are positive coming out of Charlotte today. Come to find out that Christian McCaffrey's going back on the IR. His season is effectively over. Interesting.
Cool. That's gone great.
Cool, huh? So the running back goes out in the debacle down in Miami, which like for a hot minute I considered going to, but I'm so glad that I didn't. It would have been a waste of money. Since I was down in Florida, I was like, yeah, why not? I'll just drive the 3 hours.
Every time they play the team that used to be, that was the team I was raised on.
Yeah.
Every time they play them, I hate it, and it ends terribly. Even when it ends well, just it's
little. Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. So Christian McCaffrey's ankle, the issue that I'm having with the Panthers right now comes down to messaging. It always comes down to messaging with this coaching staff.
Yeah.
I never really liked their messaging when Cam Newton left the first time. I didn't like the messaging when they talked about Cam Newton's return.
I can't, yeah.
And I didn't like the messaging around Christian McCaffrey's ankle, which, given his injury history, I'm sure he's also annoyed by.
Right.
So, because it didn't really seem like it was that big of a deal Miami game.
Now he's going
back on the IR and he's effectively done for the season.
I mean, are they doing it, though, to be fair, because you know how I feel about this, right? Mm-hmm. Are they doing it to sort of protect him from himself and protect their investment
Maybe.
In a season that appears to be lost at this point? Because if they are, that's at least one thing that the previous coaching staff was not often willing to do.
But this is twice now where they've had to shut down Christian McCaffrey to protect the investment.
A separate conversation.
Then gets to the larger point. Look.
How do you protect your investment long term with an offensive line that is actual garbage? Like, what's the point of having the investment if you don't, like, I don't know what the analogy is. Maybe like having a Ferrari, but like having to store it in the open during, you know,
I don't know if that's even right. You don't even have a carport for it.
Right, nothing.
Right, you got nothing.
It's just out in the elements. No cover, no nothing.
You're also putting the 87 octane in it too. You're putting the regular.
Right.
You can't do that. You got to put the 93.
Exactly.
So, and that to me, what you just got to, is the thing that I keep coming back to with the Carolina Panthers. What's the freaking plan?
Right.
What's the plan?
I can't help but wonder at this point if there's not a lot of, like, competing interests, voices, points of view at play here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And whose point of view ultimately will win out in the end?
Well, the owner's view is going to play out in the end.
Correct.
He's the one with the money.
And I feel like that's why we've gotten this weird dynamic with this team, mostly this year, for sure, and maybe even a little bit in this last offseason, that they're in win-now mode. And that's been a little baffling to some of us because we were all told, like, trust the process, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's going to take time. It's going to take time to have a rebuild. That's why you hire a Matt Rule, yada, 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 right? And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, this team's maybe a little better than we thought. It's time to win now. Now they have, like, no draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
They have, like, $19 million they're going to set on fire for Sam Darnold. They've got too much money tied up in Christian McCaffrey.
Which, you bring up Sam Darnold, there was talk of, oh, yeah, you know, he's throwing on the sideline. We'll see where he's at. What do you mean where he's at? Are you going to put Sam Darnold back out there?
Oh, funny.
You're gonna put him back out there after all of what happened and bringing Cam Newton back?
No, you're not going to do that. Just put PJ and call it a day.
At this point, that's what you should
Barkley, do. Put Matt Barkley, whatever. I don't care.
Well, and that
we've seen enough of Sam Darnold. Please, like, that's all I ask.
And there's a separate conversation about Cam Newton, who was bad yesterday.
Oof.
Okay, his passer rating was 5.8.
Yeah, did you see the stat, the Joey Harrington stat?
Yeah,
not a stat group you want to be in.
No, he was bad. There's really no other way of looking at it. He was 5 of 21, 92 yards, 2 interceptions. He had like one good play, which was a touchdown. That was pretty much it.
He had that deep throw
because that put me in my feelings, which
people were trying to dunk on. And the people who tried to dunk on that tweet, they got blocked. What feelings does that bring up in you? It brings up my block feeling.
Look at you.
All right, I got enough going on without being taunted about my Panthers team
in my mentions.
I don't have to put up with that block. Catch that block.
But here's the thing about Cam Newton. Was he bad yesterday? Yeah,
better
he was bad yesterday.
Better than the offensive line at blocking.
But what's the real issue? Is it Cam or is that everything?
It's everything.
We've seen
it is everything.
We've seen three games from Cam Newton as a Carolina Panther 2.0, right?
Yeah.
In the first game, it was about the vibes. We understood what it was. It was about the vibes. He had goal line situations.
Yes, yes,
everything,
yes.
Everything was feeding off of it. Everybody looked happy, and it gave people optimism around the team.
I remember how I felt then.
It was great. I thought you cried.
I did.
There you go. Like happy, like tears of joy, right?
Sure. I don't cry the sad ones anymore.
You're dead inside?
Yeah.
Fair enough. I don't let them hurt me anymore. Against
the
Washington football team, he was good. I don't care what people think. Against the Washington football team.
I don't think that was really...
He was good against the Washington football team. It was
the
defense.
There were people that were are Cam skeptics that were still... That said that actually he was good. Like, I think Dan Orlovsky had like a my bad moment after that.
He was legitimately good against Washington. It was the defense that let the Panthers down.
It's 2 weeks in a row, by the way.
And that's twice. And I guess the other thing. We can focus on Cam all day, and it brings... You know, as Darren Gann, our friend at Panthers.com, has always pointed out, Cam Newton makes people stupid. But let's not lose sight of the fact that this is now 2 weeks in a row where the defense has looked atrocious, which gets back to the bigger picture.
Right.
What's the plan?
They made moves to try to make this defense better.
Aha. Why'd they make those moves?
Because they're in win-now mode. Except...
They're not!
They can't be in win-now mode. And you know why? You probably know why. Because their offensive line is awful. You cannot win now with this offensive line.
Offensive line is awful, and they have also made mistake after mistake with quarterback.
Right.
So.
It's both, yes.
When you rewind.
But at the same time, it doesn't matter who you have back there if your line is that bad.
But this is where the big screw-up happened for the Carolina Panthers. And whether or not this is a David Tepper, owner of the Carolina Panthers issue, or a coaching staff issue, or both.
Right.
I honestly don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer either. Like, I don't know if Matt Rhule's out there advocating for some of this.
And this is not hindsight being 50-50, as Cam Newton once said.
Yes.
That's not what this is. When David Tepper hired Matt Rhule and gave him the guaranteed contract that he gave him, I'm paraphrasing, but David Tepper essentially said, would you rather suffer for the next couple years so you'd have success for the next 20, or do you want to flail around and just chase stuff? That's what he said. And that gave me the indication that the Panthers were in this for the long haul. They knew what they had to do in order to have a good football team.
Right. He just strikes me as shiny object guy.
Well, yes. Because after one season of Teddy Bridgewater, where he was perfectly fine in front of a bad offensive line and Christian McCaffrey was hurt for most of the season,
mm-hmm.
David Tepper was so annoyed with what he saw that he started to chase those shiny objects.
Yes.
He thought that by going and getting Deshaun Watson from the Houston Texans, that was going to solve all their problems in front of a bad offensive line. You know what it makes you? It just makes you another version of the Houston Texans.
Exactly.
Who are perpetually underachieving.
And badly coached. So
badly coached, and that gets to the other thing, too. At what point has Joe Brady, the wonder boy from last season that some people legitimately thought should be under consideration for a head coaching job, now enters the bye week for the Carolina Panthers? We're wondering if he's even going to be the play caller or if he's even going to be back next season because there's going to be changes after this season.
Yes. If it doesn't start with the special teams coach.
Yeah, well.
I shouldn't know who you are, really, and definitely not for the reasons that I know. It's just so bad. And the thing about it, too, it's like the offensive line, if you want to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Special teams, and when I'm talking special teams, I'm not talking punting and kicking, although that also matters. I'm talking your coverage units and your return units. And they have been, like, you are happy when nothing goes horribly wrong on those units for the Panthers. That should not be your baseline, but that's where the baseline's been for this team for like 15 years. And the offensive line, that's been the better part of a decade, that it has not been good enough. It is difficult to win football games unless you have otherworldly talent everywhere else on your roster if those two things are bad. Period. Like, it's that simple.
I have actually not heard. Is this the Gary Hahn call?
All these are Gary Hahn's calls.
Okay, this is Gary Hahn on the Wolfpack Radio Network. I have not actually heard the Emeka Emezi game-winning touchdown catch on the radio call. So this is probably a crazy one. This is what it sounded like after Chris Dunn recovered the onside kick, and Carolina went into a weird meltdown where they beat themselves with penalties, which is a common occurrence this season, or had been a common occurrence for the Tar Heels this season, which we'll get to in a second. And Devin Leary making the big throw to Emezi.
Leary to throw against the blitz. Fires left corner end zone. It's up for grabs. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown State! touchdown to Bessie. Holy cow, 109 left to go, and the Pack takes the lead.
So NC State obviously goes on to win that game. Dave Doran, after the game, the NC State coach, he says something that I think has been a carryover from last year in the pandemic year. And a couple of teams, it sounds weird saying it, benefited from the way the pandemic season went. Some teams went in the opposite direction. But I can look at two teams here in the state of North Carolina that absolutely benefited from the way the pandemic year went and the resiliency that was gained from it.
Mm-hmm.
NC State and Wake Forest. Super seniors come into play and everything else, but I do feel the way that they had battled all through last year with everything else that had gone on helped equip them for this season.
Yes.
Where they weren't going to let a bad game beat them twice. We saw this against Mississippi State with a loss. We saw this with Miami and the loss, and they come back from that. And it actually happens within games, too. And I think that level of believing, you know what? We've bounced back. We'll continue to bounce back. It ain't over yet. They learn from the Wake Forest loss with the onside kick. Try it again. It'll break our way, maybe. It absolutely did with the onside kick this go round.
Yes, and they learned and they waited.
And Dave Doran,
unfortunately for North Carolina, they waited too.
And Dave Doran after the game talking about why you play until the last second.
What a football game. What a game. That's why you play until the last second runs off the clock. So proud of our team and their fight. Our staff, the chemistry and the resolve of this team and the mental toughness, the next man up. I mean, we're down 7 starters now on defense and had the flu run through our team this week. We had guys that didn't practice all week. And then to be able to win like that, I mean, just says so much about these young men. I want to thank our crowd and our students. Thanksgiving break coming back. I love you. Our students are just amazing. That was a special night. You guys were incredible.
Just for future.
And, thank you for that. Our seniors deserved that, and you guys delivered.
Yeah.
Devin Leary, just continues to make clutch plays, and it's pretty cool to see him break Phillip Rivers' record. Phillip's such a great player, and Devin just thanked his entire team down the locker room, thanked his old line, everybody, defense, offense. He's a selfless player. You got to tip your hat to Sam Howell. That guy's a warrior for them. He played really hard. He's a great football player. He's going to have a great career. That was a hard-fought game by two teams, and we found a way to win it.
That was Dave Doran, NC State head football coach, after a dramatic win. I experienced some roller coasters while I was in Orlando visiting with family for Thanksgiving. I did that Jurassic Park Velocicoaster.
Okay.
We're like...
Yeah, that already sounds like a no for me.
I don't usually yell obscenities while riding rides.
Why ride rides at all then?
But I did. I did on this one.
Yeah.
I would imagine that the same feeling was taking place for both NC State fans and Carolina fans on Friday night.
The win probability graph of that game at the end.
Carolina was at 99.9%.
It looked like a huge roller coaster drop.
It did.
I mean, that's what it looked like to me. And it's just like, the one thing about Dave, too, and it's interesting, I think listening to that, it kind of hit me how differently that press conference goes 3-4 years ago.
Sure.
With him.
Sure.
And I think... he has grown along with this program, if that makes sense. I don't want that to sound patronizing, but at the same time, like that, this win, yes, it's about the rivalry, but it's about them. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I thought that that was cool. And I think that the reason this resilient culture that he's built there is turning around is because, he's grown some too. And his team has bought into that. The leadership has bought in. And when the leadership is bought in, they pass it down. That's how you really build a program. I think that's what's happening there.
Well, I'm actually glad you put it that way, because it's something that I've been arguing with angsty NC State fans the last couple of years as it relates to Dave Doran. When he got the job, he was just out the womb in head coaching. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he's really not that old as you might think he is. He's been here so long. He's not very old.
He's not that much older than me. He's got me by like 8 years, right? I'm 42.
He's older in spirit,
Well, there is that, yes. Or at least what he likes to present.
Right.
But the argument is that the state program, as you put it, has grown with Dave Doran. Now, Are the overall results over the last 9 years overwhelming? No, they're not. But if you highlight...
A lot of programs would be happy with it. Let's put it that way.
Well, and that's the thing. You mentioned program. Mm-hmm. NC State hasn't had a program.
That's the thing.
Since I've been here. I mean, I got here in 1995. Mike O'Kane's the head coach. And it was wildly inconsistent. They bring in Chuck Amato, wildly inconsistent. They bring in Tom O'Brien.
It's an identity anyway.
But that's the thing, right. And it's been an argument that I've had with a lot of NC State fans, yes, as it relates to what do you want your identity to be?
Right.
Do you want to be a wildly inconsistent program that usually finishes around 500,
right,
and you have these moments where you knock off a top dog, or do you actually want to have a program? Because if you look at the last 5 years,
yes,
under Dave Doran, the 2019 season where they went 4-8, which was an injury-riddled year, ends up being more of a blip. And I mentioned injury riddled. What's the one of the more defining characteristics of this season?
Yeah, they've had injuries, especially in the defensive, mm-hmm, side, and they've just overcome them. Next man up, whatever. And you don't, that's the
depth.
Other thing. You used to hear Dave Doran talk about that kind of stuff a lot. And he will talk about it some, and as he should, but not like he used to.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, because the guys have shown him, like, okay, they've built this depth, mm-hmm, they're ready for it now, and that's what it is. And so I think that he has gotten the program to this point. It's almost like this is going to push buttons and whatever. There's like a subset of state fans, I feel like, that would almost like prefer to have the type of season that maybe not North Carolina did this year, but kind of in the sense of like, you push Notre Dame. Like, what if they'd beaten Notre Dame, right?
Sure.
It's almost like they'd prefer to have that kind of season where you lose to FSU and, like, a Georgia Tech but beat a Notre Dame, hypothetically,
well,
right? And it's like, why?
That's
to what
end? That's what it's been for 20 years. Or, you know, before Dave Doran got there. And I wanted to make this point specifically about NC State before I have real, real quick thoughts on North Carolina this season. Mm. NC State won the two games they absolutely had to win this season for Dave Doran to prove a point. Okay?
Yeah.
The first one was over Clemson and specifically over Dabo, the head coach.
Right.
Right. Which I argued at that time, and I still believe today, was the most pressure that Dave Doran's faced at Carter-Finley Stadium.
For sure.
In his career.
100%.
Because it's one thing to surprise Clemson.
Yeah.
It's another when everybody's looking at you and looking at the season. Even Clemson fans going,
yep,
damn, Dave, if you don't get over Dabo
right
this year,
yes,
when
literally
the hell are you going to do it, man?
Yep.
That's pressure.
Yeah.
That's actual pressure.
It was a lot of pressure.
And it almost went bad, but they overcame that. They ended up winning that game in dramatic fashion. And despite what we think about Clemson, they still ended up lingering around the Atlantic Division. And if Boston
they
College,
got better throughout the year. They got
have.
Better as it went.
And they actually might be Georgia's best win in the regular season. So that remains to be seen.
And then the loss is their best win.
Right.
Just saying.
And then, if you want to use SEC logic.
It's true, though.
And then the other one that he had to have to prove a point was against North Carolina, which I looked at as, we talked about this last week in the ACC panel.
Right,
room.
Like the recruiting aspect.
This was crystallizing
whatever.
Doran's point about respect, something that's been kind of lingering around for the last couple of years. Let's call it for what it is, mask off, all right?
Mm-hmm.
That's about Mack Brown. It's about North Carolina, where Mack
gets the attention, yeah.
And here's the other thing that's important about this, because I know how Mack Brown works. You know how Mack Brown works. Had they beat NC State in that game, Mack Brown would have turned what is objectively a disappointing season, given all of what they had going for them.
Yeah, it would have given something to cling to.
They would have had the state championship.
Right.
There would have been some little dig at Wake Forest saying, you know, we beat the Atlantic Division champion. We beat NC State. We're the state champs. I really like where recruiting's going. They kind of salvaged something out of that. But now it's left with nothing but rubble.
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
Nothing but rubble for a bad season. I don't
yep.
really know how else to put it for North Carolina. It's
nope.
a bad season.
Yep.
So this kind of crystallizes a point that Dave Doran has been trying to make about respect. In the last 5 years, they're winning 9 games. They're winning 8 games. They're winning 9 games. Most programs would love to have that. It's consistency. Are they winning these big marquee games that get people hyped up? No. That hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened consistently. Did they whiff on the Atlantic Division this year and a loss to Wake Forest? Yeah, but that's a really good Wake Forest team against a really well-respected coach in Dave Clawson.
Mm-hmm.
And who's to say that because Dave Doran now has things in a contention cycle, if he sticks around...
Yeah, I don't know that I'd be so quick to assume that the window is closed. Yeah,
I'm with you on that.
I wouldn't assume
that. So... That's my overall thoughts on Dave Doran and this season. He got the 2 wins he absolutely needed this season to make an overall point about where this program is. And as far as Mack Brown and North Carolina are concerned, look, I get the optimism around the recruiting. I get the optimism about who's coming in and how North Carolina continues to get it done.
And you can flush this and you can potentially have a totally different season next year. Who knows?
But here are two things that I would say. One, Sam Howell's don't grow on trees.
Man, and I was going to say, I loved hearing what Dave Doran said about him too in the clip, because that stuck out to me a lot about Sam. I'm 90-ish percent sure it's probably the last game we see Sam Howell play in college.
Yeah.
And he poured it all out. He did everything he could do.
Yes.
And that's what we've seen. I mean, at one point, he had like six dudes hanging on him for state, and he's like just trying to get extra yardage. I'm like, hey, dude, you know you have millions waiting for you, right? Maybe chill, but he just doesn't have that in him.
Yeah, if you don't have a takeaway about Sam Howell this year being just nothing
he's just
but
different.
Yes. Then I'm not quite sure what you watched this football season.
His draft stock, by the way, will go back up once they actually sit down and evaluate the way this season ends. Just, I think that's happening.
But here's my other thing about the optimism around recruiting. Is this your first rodeo with college football? Is this your first rodeo with Mac Brown in recruiting? All we have to do is go back to Texas. Recruiting obviously matters. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. What do you do with the recruits? At any point did North Carolina get better this season? Outside of Sam Howell, did they get better?
No,
did the defense improve?
Not steadily, no.
Did the offensive line improve?
Because it would show flashes and then boom, back to,
So if the thought out of North Carolina is, well, recruiting will take care of itself and that'll mask a lot of the issues
going
forward.
It can, but you got to make sure you have the right people in place.
And,
yeah, exactly.
You can't miss.
Right.
You cannot miss. Yes. So this just kind of shows, hey, I get that the offseason wins are nice, but you also need the results on the field. And right now, the results are not there. Yeah. You have to have both. And it's really hard to do. It ain't easy. But apparently my dad called in.
Okay.
I guess he didn't get enough of me over Thanksgiving, so he decided to call into the show. Hi, Dad.
Hello.
What's up?
Hear me.
Yeah, what's up?
All right. No, I was reading the paper this morning, and I saw an interesting commentary by Luke DeCock about a cigar is a cigar in the NC State football season.
Yeah.
So you know me, cigars kind of trigger my creativity. So I did some deep research.
Okay.
And in this deep research, I discovered that, you know, NC State hasn't won a ACC football championship in a long time. Do you know what was the year they won their last championship?
1979.
I mean, you were there.
I mean, I wasn't, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, well, that's another jinx serial that I had not seen, like the Triple Crown winners
that. But Dad, we've had multiple Triple Crown winners since I was born, and you gave me a complex as a child saying that there had not been a Triple Crown winner since I was born. And when they won, I think I talked to you and said, well, I'm still on this planet, so what happened?
Yeah. Well, now.
So are you saying I have to be sacrificed in order for NC State to win a football championship?
I mean, I'm giving you an adult trauma now.
Yes.
Maybe it's me that's jinxing them. Who knows?
Who knows?
I mean, I they even lost to Miami when I was there in person. So, yeah. I mean, maybe I'm the jinx and
maybe.
Not you. So,
maybe.
So anyway, okay. I just wanted to pass that.
You want to pass that fun fact along. Just give NC State fans more issues with me.
Oh, really?
Thanks.
Why would they have issues with you? You love NC State. I mean, come on.
All right, Dad.
Well, you don't tell your dad about your mentions?
Oh, no. He doesn't look. He doesn't get Twitter.
That's smart.
Yeah, he doesn't get Twitter. All right, Dad. I got to go.
I
got to go.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
I love you.
Aww. Sometimes I wonder. Because he throws red meat to people. Oh,
I'm
you know
like,
what?
Where is this going? Oh, wow.
That's right. Okay. State hasn't won anything since 1979 in football. Maybe it is Ovies' problem.
I was gonna add to the fire there and ask when your brother graduated. Because they did start doing better in the last couple years.
You know, I forgot when my brother graduated.
Was it 2 years ago or three?
No. He's 26 now.
Oh, okay. So it's been like four.
It's been 4 or 5 years.
I don't know. They've had some pretty good years since he left. I'm just saying.
Jonathan Jones. Yeah, Jonathan Jones, CBS Sports, NFL Insider. What's up, man?
Oh, God.
What's going on, y'all? I enjoyed that call with your pops.
Yeah. My dad likes. He's. If I didn't, you know, as a.
That's amazing.
He growing up in Cuba, man. I mean, at some point there could be, you know, head of a live chicken. I have no idea in order to get things to work. So, anyway, you might, maybe the Panthers need the head of a live chicken and some other things to kind of break whatever the hell's going on in Charlotte. Optimism from Cam Newton's return has drifted back into what the hell is going on here. And I guess that's where we can start. Jonathan Jones, CBS Sports. What is the plan for the Carolina Panthers? Because I'm at a loss now.
Well, I mean, yeah, the plan that they had does not align or is incongruous with what is currently happening with the reality.
Yeah.
And so I don't, you know, what happens when you get punched in the mouth over and over again, right, is really what's happening to the Carolina Panthers. They went full bore, sort of all in on this championship window, if you will. Now, I think most reasonable people would have looked at this Carolina Panthers team and said, well, not NFC title game favorites, but you never know if defense plays well, right? If the offense just survives, that maybe they can do it. Well, there was fool's gold there through the first 3 weeks of the season, and we all know how it played out, right? I think where we're at right now is the defense isn't as good as we were led to believe, as Matt Rhule and his staff did believe. And Cam Newton, as sort of this Hail Mary effort, because Sam Darnold wasn't going to be good enough to get the job done, relying on Christian McCaffrey's long-term health, has clearly not been the ticket 23 of the last 33 games.
Yeah.
And so, but if you need a competent offensive line and you need a healthy Christian McCaffrey to make Cam Newton go, but you don't have either one of those things, and then Cam Newton doesn't go when he's supposed to go, then this is what you get.
Yeah. Well, I did want to – so I guess here's where my I because Brian Lowe made this point at the beginning of the show related to the Panthers thought they had a window. Well, why wouldn't they? I mean, there was a point here where you had, what, like 20-some-odd teams that were between the records of 4-7 and 7-4. Everything is wide open. I mean, the Colts looked left for dead in the AFC and suddenly find themselves in contention. The Patriots suddenly find themselves as Super Bowl contenders in the AFC. The NFC has some top dogs. I get that. But there was no reason in that soft, doughy middle, as I come out of Thanksgiving haze here, that you couldn't make a run for the wild card. And you had a good enough defense getting healthier. And you had enough playmakers on offense that I just feel like the coaching has really regressed. You should be able to push through given some of these issues. Instead, I'm seeing a coaching strategy that has regressed.
Well, I think it's fair that the coaching strategy to say the coaching strategy has regressed, but every facet of the Carolina Panthers have regressed, right? And so it's almost like, well, yeah, the offense, really the special teams, and didn't they have a punt block, right?
It's been 15 years, JJ. Like, do we not know where special teams coordinators reside that are good? Like, what is going on? I'm so tired of this.
Yeah, it's the land of special teams coordinators that for some reason the Panthers can't penetrate. No, and you have, yeah, the defense has taken a step back. The offense has clearly been regressing, and so you want to lump coaching in there as well. Yeah, absolutely, sure. Are they putting them in great positions to succeed? No. Do they have the horses to succeed? No. And so it's this self-fulfilling and defeating and vicious cycle prophecy, you know, whatever you want to say, that you ultimately, the Carolina Panthers have been better, have been worse than what their record indicated. I have felt that way really since they were 3-0. And then I felt that water found its level, and now the wheels are falling off.
So I guess part of the confusion, JJ, is like why they said it's rebuild with Matt Rhule. He's a rebuilding coach, right? It's going to take time, you know, trust the process, all the stuff we've been hearing. And then this year, it's almost like maybe things started a little better than they thought or whatever it was. But between like the trade for Sam Darnold, giving up as much as they did, not having like any draft picks in next year's draft at this point, you know, going out to get Stephon Gilmore, it's exciting in the moment. But then it's like, to what end? So whose process is this actually? Like, is it Tepper? Is it Rhule? It's just hard to see who's pulling the strings, because it seems like a lot of things that are happening that are kind of contradictory.
Yeah, Matt Rhule's pulling the strings. It's still his program, right? And so there's no question about that. It was, I think now it could be determined as a bit of a miscalculation. You know, when you do the moves that they did, and now first of all, you know, they traded for Sam Darnold in large part because they couldn't get Matthew Stafford, who they tried to trade for Deshaun Watson, as we all understand and know. But David Tepper was done with Teddy Bridgewater. So that put them in a position where they had to spend more resources and capital on that position. Then they just gave $4.5 million to Cam Newton because they didn't like the replacement to the replacement and brought back the old replacement, right? So we know and understand those things, but where you look at the Panthers and Matt Rhule and what they decided to do was they thought, again, that they were better than they were. And I'll tell you this, when they were making those trades, when they went out and got Stephon Gilmore, when they were in the sweepstakes for Jalen Smith, for example, I was getting texts from personnel folks around the league who said, the Panthers are going to learn the hard way. David Tepper is going to learn the hard way. Because if you're not right, if what is currently happening winds up happening, then what you're left with is in you have a rebuild where you don't have any pieces to build with the following year. You better be right and try to win that division or at least get to the playoffs and feel good. Maybe you host a playoff game. Maybe you're competitive in a playoff game. You want it to be more like the Washington football team last year, getting into the playoffs, playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers close, than you do the Chicago Bears last year. Where, yeah, they were the seventh seed and they literally got into the playoffs, but then they were completely non-competitive against the New Orleans Saints in that game. So that's what you were hoping to do, get in there and build with a new coaching staff and a young group of guys, but they went too far into that, chasing that. And when you're wrong, and you always have to prepare for the possibility that you are wrong, when you are wrong, this is what it looks like, where fans and observers are left with, well, where's the hope for this team in 2022?
Mm-hmm. Jonathan Jones, CBS Sports, joining us here on The OG, joins us every Monday throughout the football season. Alongside Lauren Brownlow, I'm Joe Ovias. Speaking of not having any draft capital, the Los Angeles Rams have made it their deal, right? We're all in. Everything is there for the Super Bowl. But speaking of regression, they also seem like they're going in the wrong direction. What's up with the Rams right now?
They are all flash and no substance, right? It's all style and no substance. This is a team that is just getting out-physicaled game in, game out. And I looked at the Tennessee Titans game from several weeks ago, really their first of the three-game losing streak. I said, you know what? Matthew Stafford threw that pick six. He threw another interception that led to a touchdown on the doorstep of the end zone. You know, if it weren't for those two mistakes by Matthew Stafford, which I don't think he's going to make those mistakes anymore, I'm not worried about the Rams. Well, then the next week, they got ran all over on by the San Francisco 49ers to the tune of about 160 rushing yards, and they just got beat up front. And then what we saw yesterday against the Green Bay Packers, again, getting beaten up front, and Matthew Stafford continuing to make those big mistakes early on where the Rams, because if they are getting out physical, can't actually work from a deficit. That's what we've seen. Those have been the common threads in each of the past three games. They are getting they're losing the battle in the trenches. Matthew Stafford is making mistakes early in the game, and they can't climb out of it because they're not physical enough to climb out of these deficits.
Jonathan Jones, CBS Sports, NFL Insider, joining us here on The OG. Alongside Lauren Brownlow, I'm Joe Ovias. Giglio will be back later on in the week. He had back and neck surgery. So send him some well wishes. Browns, Baker Mayfield. Is this a wrap?
It might be. It very well could be. I mean, when Baker Mayfield is healthy, when other defenses haven't figured out your offense, when you have a little bit more talent, when your offensive line isn't halfway on the injured reserve, then maybe this offense is okay, right? I mean, the San Francisco 49ers, remember, went to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. Baker Mayfield on any given Sunday is equal to Jimmy Garoppolo from that season. A lot of times he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo from that season, but you lack the consistency. And frankly, him being drafted number one overall, you got to have that consistency. If you're not going to be a top five quarterback, a top 10 quarterback, you at least have to be Kirk Cousins, right? And be consistent. And I got to know what I'm going to get from you week in, week out. You don't get that any week from Baker Mayfield. Then you throw in the injuries. And then you throw in the offensive line. And so now teams aren't letting the Browns run on them. And if you're not going to do that, and that's how your offense is going to operate, then Baker Mayfield is not going to find any success there in the offense. Ultimately, what do the Browns do? Do they draft a quarterback, sort of start all over with Kevin Stefanski? I don't know if that's the answer, especially when you see the quarterback carousel that's going to be spinning this offseason. I wrote on Friday that the Giants need to go all in on Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's not going to be in Seattle next year. You've got to look at Aaron Rodgers probably going to Denver. Maybe he goes somewhere else if the Green Bay Packers don't win the Super Bowl. So there's going to be wheels spinning, and you're going to be able to find someone. Maybe a Daniel Jones then comes out. Then you have to decide, okay, am I better off with Baker Mayfield on a fifth-year option or a Daniel Jones? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know if anybody wants to have to decide the answer to that question. But if you're not going to be able to swing big for one of those guys, Deshaun Watson, and his situations may very well have reached a palatable conclusion by the time that free agency begins and you can become players for Deshaun Watson. Short of that, you have to wonder, is Baker Mayfield a better option than a Daniel Jones-like player?
You know, and this is no shade intended to Baker. Well, a little bit. But, I mean, I will say this. If he could be as good as he is in the progressive commercials at quarterback.
He's great.
Like, he's so good. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. He's really good. I don't even mean that as, like, shade, because he's really good at them. If he could just be that good most of the time, this wouldn't even be a conversation.
But you know what? To that point, a lot of folks that I talk to are really – they don't like the fact that he's in these progressive commercials and then skipping media and then, you know, his...
Hey, listen, he does them at the stadium. What do you want?
Well, yeah, he lives there.
Right. You know, his wife posting on Instagram and the things that he sort of posts and all of these things that have kind of come up. It's like, hey, play better or else chill with some of this stuff.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I just view that as progress.
I see what you're doing. Yeah.
I mean, before, Baker Mayfield could be on the cover of GQ and nobody blinked an eye, but if another quarterback was on the cover of GQ, we got problems.
Cam walked so they could run.
Right. Now people are telling Baker Mayfield that he needs to worry more about football? I believe that's progress. JJ?
I like that, Joe.
All right, that's man. Good. All right. Jonathan Jones, CBS Sports, NFL Insider, he joins us every Monday throughout the football season. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Let's, you want to acapella the news? You want to put your fancy graphic up?
Ooh, Will's here. He can do it.
Okay, so.
A fancy graphic for acapella the news. Real, I'm excited about this.
Real quick. Will, our chief engineer, he's finally putting the touches on our reconfigured studio. It's more video friendly. You'll see things pushed out on social media, whatnot. We got new cameras, all that stuff. We have bigger plans, which I can't tell you about right now, but eventually you'll find out why all these things are happening. You could probably get the idea. So now that we do these segments, we have these, because we don't have enough Joes at this radio station, we have Video Joe who's putting these things together. The guy's name is literally Joe. It's actually Joe.
That was part of the hiring process.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, his name is Joe. So we've got too many Joes, so now we just refer to him as Video Joe. Because when you walk down the hallway and we're all in the same area, Jillio and I are in our cubicles.
No, it's so hot.
Yeah, Jillio and I are in our
cubicles. I mean, I've always called Jillio.
Yes.
And I've always called you Joe, but when I'm talking about you to other people that work here, it's like, oh, obvious. I just have to do that.
And then Video Joe's literally across the hallway from us in his own office space. So when, like, Sammy, our manager, is walking down the hallway and he goes, Joe, we're all like, yeah?
Yeah.
So we have to differentiate with all of these things. Anyway, so you put these graphics. Now acapella the news has a graphic?
I'm so excited. I don't know what to do with myself.
It's ridiculous. All right, let's acapella the news.
Yeah.
It's time for a rant to
acapella the news.
So had this thing about the State Carolina game. 2 minutes left. I think most State fans are used to the opposite happening to them. So, you know, kind of made a believer out of some State fans that maybe some good juju can happen.
I thought good luck was only true in fairy tales. Not for us, but for the other team. Ref's always out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw Mac's face. Now I'm a believer. A mecca had space. And our kick was onside. I'm speechless, but I'm a believer. What a receiver, what a ride.
Also, since we had the budget for you know, Acapella the News graphics, I decided to hire background singers.
Oh, man.
That's not acapella.
Okay. Yeah, Brownlow. Yeah,
well, actually, yeah, it can be as long as you don't have any music.
It's fair.
You got to choose one
Brownlow,
or the
Brownlow,
other.
Brownlow, let's not. Can you not woman-splain?
I don't need to woman-splain to him because he knows what it is.
Are you sure?
You know what acapella, you either have, you can't have music, right? That's how it goes. Whatever.
That's the joke.
Oh,
Lauren.
Okay. See, now I did it. Okay. Look, I've had a long weekend. Leave me alone.
Yeah, you have. we're going to make it worse with some takes.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. Looks like we've got bad takes again.
We got football on Saturday, football on Sunday, and then the takes on Monday. Some are good. Some not so much. So Rand's going to play a few, and we'll figure out which are which.
You should just read my tweets.
Yeah, no kidding.
Let people vote.
It's funny you say that, Brownlow. No, I'm kidding.
it's fine.
First up, we're gonna stay in the NFL first up. We were going to go with Cam first, but we'll give that a second to breathe. Keyshawn Johnson, talking about the Rams, you know, they had a big trade, Jared Goff for Matthew Stafford. Rams lose last night to the Packers, and so Keyshawn wondered if the Rams were a little bit had some buyer's remorse.
When you go and you spend all of that to go and get Matthew Stafford because of that, much like you just said, Max, that he is going to be the answer to get us to the Super Bowl and winning, and he's throwing pick sixes to the Green Bay Packers. That guy is, we thought, was in Detroit. That guy is now in Los Angeles. And what I mean by that is the swap for Jared Goff. That was Jared Goff throwing pick sixes. Now Matthew Stafford's throwing pick sixes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, you say, well, you have faith in Sean McVay to get things turned around. Look, dude, all you got to do is look at his ability and what and how he plays. You spent a lot to get him. And I said this at the beginning of the year when they made the trade. I said, he the same dude as Derek Carr. It's the same guy. Same exact guy. But y'all gave up all that to get that.
That's actually not a bad take.
Wait, Matthew Stafford is Derek Carr? Come on.
Why would he not be?
It's actually not that bad of a take.
What else has he done? That's the thing. Like, and I like Matthew Stafford, and I always felt badly for him in Detroit. I'm not saying he doesn't have some talent, but,
sure,
like, at the end of the day, and this is partially, I think, a product of me listening to Bomani Jones's podcast as much as
right,
I have.
Right.
But he's got a point. Like, 13 years, and people are still like, just wait until Matt Stafford gets his guys around him. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I'm not saying he's bad. That's not the point, though.
Matt Stafford's best defense was, well, it's the Detroit Lions.
Of course.
Okay.
And by the way, lots of validity to
There's
that.
There's a lot of validity to that, which then gets you to where we are with the Rams. And yeah, how much of this is McVay? How much of this is Matt Stafford? So, I mean, I don't disagree with Keyshawn. That's not a bad
take. Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, especially considering that their big MO is, we're all in. Look at what we're doing. And they've regressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Next up.
Hello,
all right,
darkness,
so this is dealer's
friend.
Choice. Would you rather stick with the NFL and go Cam, or do you want to go college with Lincoln Riley?
Well, we could do both. We have time for
both.
Both?
Okay,
let's stick with the NFL.
We will stick with
Keyshawn.
Interesting take here. So obviously Sunday, Cam had a bad game.
Yeah.
Is this a Cam thing, or are we still on Matt Rule? And this is Keyshawn again on Cam's struggles. He has an excuse for Cam.
It's not a surprise that he would struggle. He played amazing a week ago against Washington. He gave us a little snippet, I'm back, against Arizona. But let's face it, he is coming back into a system and a situation he's unfamiliar with. So it's not a surprise that he would struggle.
Medium.
That's mild, because I don't think it's the system. It's just that Cam Newton came back to a bad team.
I think it's both to a degree, but at the same time, the baffling part of this for me has been like, how good he looked, obviously limited action against Arizona, so it's whatever. But
yeah,
throw that out. But then against Arizona, or against Washington, mm-hmm, how good he looked, and then everything just looked completely the opposite.
I do think
every facet.
I do think that was gonna be Cam Newton's return week. It was a week to week thing.
Mm-hmm.
What I was not expecting was the defense in the last 2 weeks to look as bad as it has looked.
Right.
So when you're already down that fast, and Cam Newton contributed to it, you're really just going nowhere fast. And I think this is more of an indictment on the coaching staff than it is on Cam Newton.
It's a lot of things, yeah.
Y'all know how I felt about this coaching staff, and we're not even 2 years in.
Mm-mm.
Next up.
So usually with bad takes, a trend has been Dan Orlovsky heavy. We've kind of given Dan Orlovsky a break the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, it has been, yeah.
Today is all Keyshawn.
All right.
Last up,
wow.
last up
in
bad
takes. By the way,
you
can listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on 99.9 The Fan from 6 and 10. Hear these takes real time.
Yes, real time.
Exactly.
I don't know if you heard the news, but Lincoln Riley is no longer in Oklahoma.
He's shocked going, by this.
He's going to the other USC.
I'm legit shocked by this. It's very rare when you see somebody in a choice Power 5 job like Oklahoma leave for another supposedly choice Power 5 job.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that one came as a surprise to me. But anyway.
So, Keyshawn, USC homer, noted. He'll tell you that. Had an interesting take on what Lincoln Riley's first year should be, on what his expectations should be in his first year.
Win the Pac-12, beat UCLA and Notre Dame, and then we go from there.
So you're saying all that first year?
100%. This ain't no rebuild. This is not a rebuild. It's a reset.
What I love
talent
about
talent is there.
What I love
they got
about
plenty of talent.
No.
Got to coach it up.
Stop. Stop. All right, that's the first bad take from Keyshawn.
Yeah, that's...
No.
He went to USC, right?
Yeah. So he believes the talent. No. The talent's not there.
I mean...
That was the Clay Helton problem. That's why he's no longer there.
They have some, but again, it's that kind of talent that you go, okay, it's like the Texas situation, right? Where it's
right.
Like, how much of it is do we regard as talent because of recruiting rankings that get a bump when said kid goes to USC or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't think it'll take him too long, though.
No.
But still,
no.
Not in the first year. Although, I mean, some of that might be an indictment on the Pac-12, to be fair to Keyshawn. Like, it's not as if there is some established power at the top of the Pac-12, except maybe Oregon that you have to knock off.
Yeah. Yeah, again, the Lincoln Riley news was a surprise over the weekend. I thought that was one of those pie-in-the-sky situations. But every coaching carousel has one surprise. This would definitely be the one surprise. And
when you think about it, though, it makes sense. And it made more sense to me when I thought about it.
I guess. You know, it's like Jimbo Fisher leaving Florida State made sense.
Yes.
To go to Texas A&M for the money and the actual commitment behind football that Texas A&M always shows.
Yes.
Where Florida State wasn't necessarily showing that. As far as the other coaching carousel stuff, David Cutcliffe and Duke agreed to part ways. I thought it was interesting that nowhere in the release from Duke the word retirement was used at all.
Yeah.
That would indicate to me with the next Manning kid coming up that David Cutcliffe might end up on a staff that features the next Manning kid on a college campus.
Interesting.
Just saying. I mean, if you gave him the title of Manning coordinator, would it not make sense?
Yeah.
It would make sense to me. So he'll probably end up on, I guess he'd end up on a staff somewhere. If he does want to get out of coaching altogether, I'm sure he has a place waiting for him in television. Not necessarily in the booth, but he certainly would have a place on a studio show like the ACC Network or wherever. Because he's just very good at explaining football and storytelling, which is what you need in those settings.
Yeah.
So David Cutcliffe is a gem.
Yes.
And it stinks that it ended this way, but that's football for you. It was time for Duke to go in a different direction. But understand that the next person who is going to take over that Duke program owes a lot to what David Cutcliffe was able to build since he got there.
I understand that Duke fans have been frustrated and that there's a lot of feeling like, oh, it's just as bad as it was. I don't think that it is. Do I think it's bad? Yes. Do I think it was clearly time to change something? Yes, I agree with all that. But I still don't think it was as bad as when he took it over. No.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 6 p.m. And you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.